I would invite your attention this morning to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 2. We continue our study in the book of Hebrews. Foundations of Faith. It's the title of the message this morning. You know, it's a good thing to believe. But it's not good enough to just say, I believe. You've got to have something you're latched onto as a reason you believe. Okay? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to give you four things that are foundations of your faith. Things you can sink your teeth in, so to speak. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed He does not give aid to the angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of His people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word and the opportunity to look into Your Word so that we may grow through Your Word. Father, You know the need of everyone listening to this message today. I pray You would take this message and through the power of Your Holy Spirit apply it to each individual life, that all may glean the goodness of Your Word today. Lord, this is Your service. We're here to honor You. And I pray that You will use everyone here for Your honor, for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The goal of Hebrews, I've said it's all about Jesus, but a little bit more specifically, it's about getting to know Jesus and who Jesus is. You know, there are many who profess Jesus, but do you know Him? I'm talking, do you know how He feels? Do you know what He wants? Do you know His desires? And you know, the book of Hebrews can be a difficult book, and it's real easy to avoid the book of Hebrews. But Jesus was a Hebrew. And so, if we're going to understand Jesus, I think we need to go through the trouble of understanding this book of Hebrews. And I've also discovered anything worth having is worth putting forth effort for. And so I want to challenge you today, make an effort to get into this book, to look into this book with the goal in mind of I want to know who Jesus really is. I want to know Jesus more deeply than I've ever known Him before. Today, we start with the founder, Jesus, the founder of our faith. Verse 10, we're told it was fitting for Jesus to make the captain, who was Jesus, of course, of our salvation perfect through suffering. It was fitting to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. Now, there are three words that I want to call your attention to in that verse. Okay? Number one, the word captain. Right? The word captain, and as I said just a moment ago, that's talking about Jesus. But that word captain means founder or trailblazer. So when it says Jesus is the captain of our faith, he's literally saying Jesus is the trailblazer or the road maker of our faith. Jesus built the road. He established the way to God the Father. I'm always interested in old stuff. The older I become, the more interested I become in old stuff. How about y'all? And as I thought about Jesus blazing the trail to the Father, I thought back in the beginning of this country and how that the pioneers would travel from one side of this country to the other. You know, that was the day when there were no roads. There were no cars. There were no airplanes. If you were on one side of the country and you wanted to go the other side of the country, you had the luxury of a covered wagon. And you got in that wagon and it would take days, sometimes months, even years. It took, you know, it would take a year to cross this country. They would face the hardship of mountains and rivers. Can you imagine crossing a river in a covered wagon? First flight thing you'd have to do is find a spot shallow enough to cross. Next thing you'd have to do is to pull it through the mud, the muck, and everything else as you crossed. I mean, what a pain. But these guys, the pioneers, they would endure the mountains, the rivers, the harsh elements of summer, the harsh elements of winter. They suffered sickness and dealt with wild animals and attacks from Indians and attacks from bandits. And I look at that guy, those guys, and I say, wow, that's when men were men. Because I think today, if I'm going to get in a car and ride for 8 hours, I'm really suffering. And it's got cruise control, air conditioning, heating, and whatever I need. And I think, oh man, I got to ride for 8 hours. Well, I'm not much of a trailblazer. But I think about those guys, and those guys were. But Jesus, even more so, was the trailblazer, the road paver, to pave the road for you to have a relationship with God the Father. You see, before the days of Jesus, there was no road to God. You say, oh, Brother Doug, what about the law? All the law of Moses did was point people toward Jesus and tell them that you cannot live to be good enough to go before the presence of a holy and perfect God. Jesus was all about blazing that trail. And how did he do it? It said he was made perfect. That word perfect means to accomplish something or finish something. He was made perfect, accomplished paving that road, clearing the way through suffering. Now, that word suffering is very interesting in that it's the third word I wanted to call your attention to. It's interesting in that word suffering means hardship due to desire. You see, there are two kinds of suffering. Sometimes life is just life and you suffer. Other times you suffer because you want something very, very badly. And that's the price you pay to have it. Does that make sense? This word suffering is used in that context. Jesus wanted something so very, very badly that he was doing whatever it took to get what he wanted. What did he want? Again, in verse 10. He wanted to bring many sons to glory. That's why he did it. The suffering. That's why everything that Jesus endured, he did it because he had such a desire to bring you and to me into a saving relationship with God the Father. He was willing to do whatever it took. He was willing. to stand silent before his accusers as he was accused of blasphemy, as he was accused and mocked, and everything that he did in that court setting, as he stood before Pilate, he was silent. Why? Because that was what was required to bring sons to glory. Jesus endured the beating of the dreaded Roman soldiers who lash after lash would have cut his back to pieces. Why did he do that? To bring many sons to glory. Jesus allowed them to drive nails in his hands and his feet. Why did he endure that? To bring many sons to glory, even more specifically, to bring you and me into a glorious relationship with God the Father. That's why he did it. Oh, and I'll go back to the end of the life of Jesus where he cried out, "It is finished." Can you imagine paving a way across this country from one side to the other? And when that road was built, you'd back up in satisfaction and say, "That's right. It's finished." When Jesus hung upon the cross of Calvary, he suffered and endured the mocking, spat upon, the crown of thorns. And then, before he died, he cried out, "It is finished. The road is paved. Man now has a way to God the Father." That's our Savior. That's who we're trying to learn and to know more about. And we know that it was all started because of Him and the great desire and love that He has for you and me. Second thing I want you to know about Jesus to build your faith on is the family portion of our faith. You know, our faith is not just about going to heaven. Okay? That's a wonderful byproduct of faith. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I want to go to heaven. How about you? But that's not what we're all about. We're about a family relationship that is gained through a knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look, verse 11. It says, "He was not ashamed to call them brethren." Now that word brethren, it means sibling. I want you to think on that word. Just a minute. It means sibling, and in this context, it means siblings in the family of God. Oftentimes, we think of ourselves as servants, and yes, we are servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what an encouragement to know that Jesus not only looks at us as His servant, He looks at us as His brethren. That makes you the brother of Jesus. That makes you the sister of Jesus. That makes you somebody special through the family of God. That's why Jesus says here, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you." I love that. The most glorious thing that Jesus knew was God the Father. And He said, "I'm going to declare it to my family. I'm going to declare your name so that my brothers and my sisters not only have a relationship, but they know you and know you very well." The idea with this is, of course, Jesus revealing God the Father to you. I find it very sad. And there is a group today known as agnostics. And agnostics, they believe, and I'm not throwing stones, but I'm stating a fact, that they believe there's a God, but that you can't know Him. Because He's just so far above and greater than you are that you have no hope of ever having a relationship or ever knowing who He is. That's not the relationship that Jesus died for. Listen, I want you to understand. Jesus gave His all so that you could have a heavenly Father. And you know, one of the greatest tragedies in our culture today is the absentee father. The children that are being raised without a dad and the father's influence in the home. And those are the children, and you can check on the studies and statistics, those are the children that have the most trouble. they are the least likely, they're the most likely to get into trouble, to have a prison records, to have emotional issues, to feel rejected. Quite frankly, they are fighting and clawing just to survive because they don't know what having a daddy feels like. Jesus, as He introduces us to our Heavenly Father, He's saying, I want you to know who your spiritual father is. You know the greatest thing that my dad ever left me? My dad passed away a couple of years ago, and most of you know that, and I miss him. The greatest thing my dad ever did for me was not leave me an inheritance. It was not leaving me anything. The greatest thing my dad ever did for me is he was there. He was there. He was there with my mom till my mom died. And after my mom died, he was still there for another 4 years. But I knew where my dad was, and I could always go to him. I could always ask him, and I could always share with him. Now, when he got older, you know, our roles changed a little bit, but I appreciated having that father as a part of my life. Even more so, I appreciate having a Heavenly Father who has promised that He will never leave me nor forsake me. Having a Heavenly Father that loves me so much that He did also whatever it took to deliver me from the grip of sin and from the grip of Satan, and has given me an adoption into the family of God so that when this life is over, I know I'll spend eternity in heaven. That's my Father. You know, if you remember as a child, did you ever say, I bet my dad can whip your dad? Well, let me say, I bet my Heavenly Father can whip anybody. See, this is who Jesus is about. He's about us having that family relationship. Not a religion, not a ceremony, but a relationship with God the Father. Third thing. Jesus is about the freedom. The freedom of our faith. Verse 14 says that He through death might destroy him who had power of death. And we're, of course, talking about Satan there. And that word destroy, it means to render powerless. Jesus, death was about rendering Satan's power ineffective in death. You say, what is the purpose there? What is the point there? Well, you read verse 15, and I want to read that to you. Here's our benefit. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The purpose of Jesus' death was to release us who through fear of death were subject to bondage or slavery to death. Okay? Two words to consider here. Fear. Greek word is phobos, where we get phobia. It means the dread or terror of a specific danger that's accompanied by one of two things. Either fight or flight. Okay? Have you ever been so scared it brings you to that point of I'm either going to fight my way out of it or I'm going to run? That's what this word fear means as it's used here. You know, there are people today who live with a very unhealthy fear of death. Don't get me wrong. As I've said before, I'm not going to walk down the wrong way in the middle of a highway and dare cars to run over me. Okay? I'm not dumb. But I do know when this life ends, I know where I'm going. See, Jesus bought me and He paid for me with His precious blood. But I am reminded as I read this text that you know, every time I look in the mirror, I'm a little bit older. Every time I look in the mirror, I see a couple more wrinkles. And what's up with the spots? You know, you look, where did that come from? They call them, as they, I think it's a method of torture, age spots. Because you're getting old. I've noticed if I try to do things today that I did 10 years ago, I can't get out of the bed tomorrow. I notice it makes me sore, it makes me hurt. I see signs of death everywhere, all around me. And so what do? I fight. Keep pushing. Keep pressing forward. I fight with things like focus factor. You know what focus factor is? It's that old person's vitamin that makes you think better. I've seen anti-aging cream. Does that really work, ladies? Obviously it does, because all that's here is young women, right? Exercise. And I do exercise. And we eat right. We eat organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, fat-free, sugar-free, taste-free food so we can live longer. And it's all, you know, I want to extend this life. But we can't quite come to grips with Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Listen, we're all dying. And that's okay. Because if you're a child of God, you know where you're going. And there's something freeing about that. You see, I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to live daily in fear, afraid. What's the next disease? What's going to happen next? Who's going to be the next president? I don't have to worry all that. That's God, okay? I just know that if anything happens to me today, where I die today, tomorrow, next month, next year, or in 40 years, when I close my eyes for the last time upon this earth, I'll open my eyes in the presence of Jesus Christ, my Savior. And there's a freedom to that. I've been in situation a numerous times as I've watched people pass from this life to the next. And there's something about seeing a saint of God go to be with the Lord. It is very, very different and peaceful. I cannot express it. I cannot explain it. But you just know, you watch as they leave and you know where they're going. Everybody needs that assurance. Jesus' death upon Calvary was a death. He was dying in your place so you wouldn't have to. Jesus rose from the grave on the third day as the first fruits, meaning those who place their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ will too live again. The grave will not hold us. Yes, we'll cast off this old body, but we'll simply put on a new body that Jesus has prepared for us, eternal in the heavens. Oh, I'm encouraged. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. John 14:1-2, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, we have promise. We don't have to live in fear. Do you have that today? That's my question. Do you have that assurance today? That's what Jesus died so that you wouldn't have to. He gave His life so that you could have the freedom from that slavery of death. Then finally, a couple of facts that you need to know about your faith. Strengthen your faith. Found in verse 17. Therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren. Meaning, He was God in the flesh. He took on flesh. He was made like his brethren that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of his people. Three things I want to point out to you and in close. Jesus was made like his brethren that he might be merciful to his brethren. That word merciful means to be sympathetic, a person who's able to show pity to others. How can Jesus show you pity and mercy and be effective? Because he knows how you feel. Do you realize, I don't care. It does not matter. It does not matter where you find yourself today. Jesus knows how you feel. You may have lost a loved one and you're feeling very empty inside because of the loss of that loved one. Jesus has been there and done that. Someone may have deserted you, a child, a spouse, and they've just left you yourself and you're alone. You think, what am I going to do now? Jesus knows how you feel. Maybe you're having trouble at work. Jesus knows how you feel. He worked with the 12 biggest knuckleheads in that area, in his 12 disciples. But you know what? Jesus took those 12 knuckleheads and he made great men out of them. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to the apostles, okay? But it is amazing the transformation those guys took on through Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand at this point, Jesus knows how you feel. And when you deal with somebody who knows how you feel, there's a comfort there. You see, if I'm hurting, I want to talk to somebody who's hurt like I have. Jesus is hurt like you have. If I'm experiencing pain, I want to talk to somebody who's experienced the same kind of pain Jesus has. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. That means, put it in our language, Jesus has been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Second thing, Jesus was made like his brethren that he might be faithful. Now, I told you, Jesus has a heart for you. He knows how you feel. But that word faithful means trustworthy and reliable. The fact is, you can count on Jesus. All right? It's one thing to say, man, I know how you feel. I just hate that you're going through this. But when it says Jesus is not only merciful, he's faithful, that means he knows what you need and he's going to give you what you need exactly when you need it. Now you think about that one. Oftentimes when I'm going through trouble, I think, oh Lord, please get me out of this. Please, I don't want to do this anymore. But Jesus knows. You don't need out of it yet. You need to experience a little more of it. But no, I'm here. I heard a preacher a few weeks ago made the comment, you know, if you're walking in the fire, if Jesus does not deliver you from the fire, he will walk with you through the fire. That's our Savior. Jesus is merciful. He knows how you feel. He's also faithful. You can trust him to give you exactly what you need when you need it. And then finally, Jesus was made like his brethren to make propitiation for the sins of his people. That word propitiation is a long religious word. It basically, in this context, it means the agent of a benefit. That means, for example, if I want a life insurance policy, I go to an insurance agent. And that insurance agent, he directs me toward, he helps me get that life insurance policy I'm looking for. He was the agent to that life insurance. I'll tell you something. We have eternity insurance in Jesus Christ. He's the agent of forgiveness are still dealing with the guilt of your past and the sins of the present and you don't know what to do, you need forgiveness. The good news is that Jesus died for your sins. He took your punishment to cast your sins as far as east is from the west. He's the agent. He did that so that you could have a position in the presence of a holy, sinless Father. That's my Jesus. Do you need strength for the hour of temptation? Maybe you're being pushed. You're just tempted to make. You know it's a bad decision, but you just don't know how you're going to make any other decision. Jesus is the agent out. You know, I tell people this all the time, and sometimes I don't think they really believe me. I say, pray about it. God will show you. Pray about it. He'll show you. You know what I found? I figured out if I pray about it and God hadn't shown me, I don't need the answer yet. I better not do anything. But God is always faithful to give me the answer when I need the answer. Jesus is that agent to answered prayer. Listen, and I think there's something that we take for granted in our prayers. We pray in the name of Jesus. Okay? We're living in a world that gets offended by that. But listen, we pray in the name of Jesus. We're instructed in the Bible to pray in the name of Jesus. Not in your name. Not in the name of the Father. Not in the name of the apostles. Not in the name of the Baptist Association. We pray in the name of Jesus. Why? Because He is the agent for everything that we possibly need. And I think people need to hear in the name of Jesus much more than we give them. Beloved, I want you to, you know, hopefully be encouraged by this message today. As I studied this, the more I studied, the more encouraged I became. And I realized... You know, sometimes I take Jesus for granted. Sometimes I'm not as appreciative as I should be. Sometimes I can't even see Jesus for looking at me. But I want to tell you something today. Jesus is everything. And as I studied this, I felt that I got to know Jesus a little better. And that's my prayer for you. Do you know Jesus? Are you saved? Number one. Jesus gave His life upon the cross of Calvary. He paid for your sin because somebody had to pay for your sin. You know? And Jesus did because He loves you. And now, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have the opportunity to call on Jesus, asking Him for salvation today. Maybe you're here and you know you're saved and you're going through some tough times. Fighting the battles. You just don't know how much longer you can hang on. I've got good news for you. Jesus knows how much longer you can hang on. You trust in Him. He is faithful. He is merciful. He will provide exactly what you need when you need it. Be encouraged. Maybe you're here, you don't know which direction to go. A lot of decisions in this life and you don't know which decision to make. The ears of the Lord are open. The altar is yours. Asking it shall be given, seeking you shall find, knocking the door shall be open, because Jesus is faithful. Whatever your spiritual need is today, Jesus is the answer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. And we are reminded today how great it is to be Your child. Father, I pray that now in this invitation, You know the needs of every heart. You know the ones, Lord, who need to be saved. I pray that they'll call upon You for salvation. Lord, You know the ones that need to be encouraged. You know the ones who need strength. You know everything about everybody. So, Lord, I pray that You would draw all men to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.